Dan Barnholden, Luca Mining, what's going on?
Just enjoying myself here in Boca Raton. It's my second time here at the Fabulous Rick Rule Conference. Been meeting some great investors. The mood here this year is 180 degrees from last year, so it's a lot of fun.
You took away my question, actually. I always wanted you to compare the two different times. And actually, for the record, so all my viewers and listeners know, I am a shareholder. I've done quite well. I've traded in and out of this stock with the core position, if you would, and I'm very happy, but I do have some questions about where we're going from that. But sure. Let's talk about the mood here. Really, not only conference, but from this year to last year, are you seeing new money coming in and flowing into the sector?
Well, I think look no further than the performance of most stocks in the sector.
Good answer, yes.
That only happens when new money comes in. For the last 5 or 6 years, it's just been the same old guys selling and buying each other's stocks, right? So now, I think by definition, you have to have some new guys coming in. 2 weeks ago, I was marketing in California. Whole new group of people starting to come to these lunches and dinners that we put on. And they're interested. You know, it's that classic, the precious metals story is moving from the 12th page of the Wall Street Journal to the 6th page. You know, now maybe it's below the fold, but it's increasingly, word is getting out. And obviously $800 in the last year in the gold price, $7 or $8 in the silver price. Top performing assets in the first half of this year. So people tend to notice things like that.
Right? Yeah. And so the question I get all the time is like, okay, Andy, gold has had such a great run here for the last really 20 plus years. It is finally getting noticed. It sounds like this is the end, not the beginning. And I tell them one thing to argue that it's not the end. What do you say to those kind of people and to investors that want in the space that think it might be towards the end and not the beginning?
Well, look, I mean, I'm not a real historian of the gold trade, but I do know that in 1971, the gold price was $33. It's up 100 times in 54 years.
Yeah.
Okay? So can it go up another 100 times? Well, it absolutely can. The problem is going to be is that your loaf of bread is going to cost $10,000 at that time, right? So I think that there's only one way out of the global debt problem, and that's through inflation. Inflation, gold price, crypto prices, those are the canary in the coal mine. That this is getting serious, right? And we've seen, I think, a change in mood, a change in awareness, a change in knowledge. It's been helped along by crypto, and it's been helped along by this 35% move in the gold price over the course of the last 12 months. Do I think that gold can keep going up? I don't think that there's any choice but for it to keep going up. And we're also starting to see new things happening in the market that's supporting the price of gold. Do you think, I mean, a question for you, I know it's your interview program, but do you think that China's gonna buy more or less treasuries next year than they did last year?
I don't think they're gonna buy more, I'll say that.
Exactly, okay? Do you think Russia, do you think Iran, do you think that these countries, I mean, the treasury market, by definition, is shrinking because the buyer's universe is shrinking, and that, you know, China's known to be buying gold in the open market. I learned yesterday, Frank Giustra and Sean Rusin are involved in a sort of a crypto gold crossover, and they're in the process of raising $1.1 billion.
Talk to them about that. Yeah.
Okay, well, if that $1.1 billion finds its way into the physical gold market over the course of the next few weeks, that should be a completely new entrant. If we start to get a crossover of tokenizing gold and a requirement of these gold-backed stablecoins to buy gold in the market, that's a whole new support mechanism for the price of gold. Arguably, you know, it should be a massive support and
a universe changer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So am I bullish on the price of gold? Absolutely. Do I imagine that it could go down by 10 or 20% in the next 6 months? Sure.
Right.
I mean, nothing goes straight up all the time, right?
Right.
I'm not predicting it. I don't want to sit here next year with gold price at $2,800 saying I told you so.
Right.
I wouldn't do that. That's not my prediction.
Right.
No, I'm with you. But let's talk about Luca. A background that my background with Luca Money is I remember, again, happy anniversary here.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I bought you at the conference, and just so everybody knows, I'm a holder of Luca Mining. I have traded in and out of the stock, and I'm very happy doing that. I've also been friendly with Dan. We've broke bread together in Toronto, and I got to pick his brain. But really where I want to pick your brain here is Luca had this really good run here. We're still in an early stage market, but it's no longer this, it's no longer unknown. That's takes a different set of skills and a different company to grow when you're known. So how is Luca going to grow now and become the growth story or even the producing story that you want it to be that's going to reward me as a shareholder?
Yeah, so you said a whole lot of stuff there. So today is the 1 year anniversary of me taking over as the CEO of Luca. If you had bought and held all your position on that day, you'd be up almost exactly.
Dan, you're calling me out.
You would be up almost exactly three times your money.
Yeah.
At the time when I started, we were a 55 cent stock. We were at $1.65 today. So perfect three bagger on your return in 12 months. So that's not bad. But you bring up an excellent point. It's much easier to move a $50 million stock to $150 million rather than moving a $150 million company to 450 or a $450 million company to 4.5 billion.
That's right? A challenge.
Those are big moves and big numbers and it's a challenge. Your question though is an excellent one, and I think I've got an excellent answer. We put out some news on Monday morning, and the news was some high grade drill intercepts into the known gold rich zones at Campo Morado. Remember, Campo Morado is our flagship asset.
Right.
It's in Guerrero. It's about a 6-hour drive due south of Mexico City. For the last 17 years that it's been in operations, it's been primarily a zinc and copper mine. But there's known high-grade gold zones within the deposit. So on Monday morning, we put out news of our first drill hole into the high-grade zones since 2010. So there's been no drilling in these zones since 2010, and there's all kinds of reasons why, but just suffice it to say that for reasons of financial distress, the nature of the deposit, the nature of the ownership of the deposit, COVID, there's been all kinds of reasons why this gold potential has never really been looked at in a serious way. So the first thing is we are going to start to delineate the higher grade portions of the gold-rich component of the deposit. That's one. Two, because of the way that the mine was built, it's optimized to recover zinc and copper.
Right.
We are in the process of looking at improving recoveries. And so for shorthand with my operating team, I say, I want to double our gold grade and I want to double our gold recoveries. Right now we only recover 25 to 30% of the gold in the deposit through our milling circuit. We're working with the international consulting firm Ausenco, and the game plan for that is to move our recoveries from 25 to 30% to 50 to 60%.
There you go.
So so I'll just tell you, this year we're expecting to generate $25 to $30 million in gold revenue at Campo Morado. Even I can do that simple math. 2 times 2 is 4 times. If we can, I think that there's a very decent possibility that by 2027 we've moved that 25 to 30 to 100 to $120 million in revenue from gold.
And it's just really executing on really what you have.
It's drilling out the gold rich component.
Right.
And it's using. And look, I'm not a metallurgist, so this is the best knowledge of some of the best metallurgists on the planet,
right,
telling me that we are talking about conventional technology.
Yeah.
We're not talking about, you know, fusing atoms or anything here. We are talking about conventional technology that's in use in other deposits that are similar. So moving from 25 to 30 to 40, to 50 to 60 should be something that can be accomplished. If we get that right, that's where you're, I'm not going to tell you it's a 10 bagger, Andy, but I think that there's very material upside from here if we get that gold component of the story right.
That is music to my ears. That should be music to all of the potential investors as well as current investors of Luka Mining. Dan, tell me this, going through the next 6 months, just take me through the end of the year, what does that look like for Luka Mining? And you just gave me some potential catalysts, but give me some more that could potentially, that you can talk about.
Yeah, so the biggest reason I took this job, Andy, 12 months ago is because I could see so much potential with this company. Mm-hmm. Over the course of the last 12 months, we've executed and delivered a lot of that potential. I mean, the first thing was we had to raise some money. We had to complete the construction of Tawawetto, which is our secondary asset. We brought in a mining contractor last year at Campo Morado, which has massively improved the efficiency of our operation. So there's just so many things that we've accomplished over the course of the last 12 months. But I would say we are in the early to middle innings of our turnaround here. And so there's a lot going on at this company, and that's what makes me so excited to come to work every day. We've got drilling, obviously, that I mentioned, the drilling that's targeting the high-grade gold zones at Campo Morado. There's the improvements that we are making in the milling circuit at Campo Morado, the studies that we are executing on the gold at Campo Morado. Then moving over to Tawawetto, we are drilling. We're going to execute the first surface drill campaign since 2012 at Tawawetto, so watch for drills. And I think it's going to improve the market's perception of the potential of Tawawetto. Tawawetto is in elephant country. There's a company you might know called Mithril. They've been a market darling. They raised $10 million today in a very well-subscribed offering. They are very close to us and in the same kind of host rocks. If we were to make a discovery of a similar nature to what they've discovered, we're already permitted. Right. We already have mining infrastructure. So I couldn't be more excited about the drilling potential at Tawawetto.
It'd be
so
almost turnkey.
It'd be, you know,
you, it would you, be turnkey.
You find a deposit and it's permitted and it's in production in 12 months.
Yeah.
So that's something else we're working. And then of course, ongoing improvements. And this is sort of the incremental piece of it. I always think that there's multiple ways to make money with an investment in Luka Mining. There's incrementally, week by week, month by month, quarter by quarter, as we improve the operations. Remember, these operations were starved for capital for many, many years. And so we are, in a lot of ways, we're just going back and doing some of the work that should have been done in 21, 22, 23, 24. We're doing that now. And so you're going to see incremental month-on-month, quarter-on-quarter improvements at both of our operations. And then you got the home run potential with drilling at both sites.
Yeah. Fantastic, Dan. So if people want to know more about Luka Mining, how do they find you? How do they, if they want to buy you, how do they do that? What exchanges are you traded on and what's your ticker symbols?
Yeah, so we're TSX Venture listed. Luka, easy to remember, Luka Mining, LUCA.V on the Venture. We're also listed OTC on the QX. LUCMF is the ticker there. You can find me anytime. Always happy to engage with shareholders. I've been doing a lot of it at this conference here. Met some really interesting people, and more of them, as you know. I mean, more and more people are awakening to... I actually just had a conversation with a guy. You know, you hope that precious metals continue to go up, but you don't want the world to get too bad, right?
Right,
so
right.
The more people that show up at things like this, the more you realize, oh my goodness, like people are waking up to the trouble that we're in financially and fiscally and frankly geopolitically. And it's, you know, sometimes it's in some ways it's disappointing that gold is is performing so well, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. And again, it's been quite a ride, and I'm looking forward to really the next 6-12 months, but even beyond that, how you guys take this company and make it an even bigger company.
So. I think that there's a lot of levers that we can pull as a company. I'm excited for the next 12 months.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks a lot, Dan.
You bet. Thanks, Andy.
You bet.